1 Samuel 15:22b. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. 1 Samuel 22b. Mark 12:33. To love the Lord with all the heart, all the understanding, all the soul, all the strength is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Mark 12:33. And now would you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 2. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today. As all of you are aware of the fact that we've completed our study in Deuteronomy, come today to the book of Joshua. We'll only spend three sessions in this book, the two sessions a day and Wednesday night. So I just wanted you to know that there's a tremendous amount of information in this book. We'll not be able to touch all the facets of that's presented here, but we will enjoy our study just the same with three sessions from the book of Joshua. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours today to open our hearts and minds to these beautiful, magnificent truths. We thank you for the fact that you love us and care for us and have blessed all of us so richly. We're the recipients of your grace. You have guided us and blessed us throughout these years. And as we come to begin a new year for our church, we thank you for the past 40 years. We ask that you'll bless us in coming days. We thank you for the fact that people love the Lord Jesus Christ, love the Word of God, desire to grow in grace and knowledge of our wonderful Savior. Help us to appreciate the fact that you care for us and have blessed all of us so richly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the screen, we're going to put a few announcements. Grace Bible Church begins 41st year this coming Thursday, December 17. Grace Bible Church was born December the 17th, 1975. It was a Thursday morning on December the 17th, 1975 that the first service of Grace Bible Church was conducted. James Bowie School became the home where God's people studied diligently, along, of course, with some other places. Then in 1979, the building in which you and I find ourselves in today, at 624 Massey Tompkins, was purchased. And there we've witnessed God's grace and God's blessings for the past 40 years. As we begin our 41st year together, we express our sincere gratitude to our Heavenly Father for His wonderful blessings upon us. Wanted you to have that information and remind you that this coming Thursday will be the beginning day of the 41st year of our existence. Jesus in every book of the Bible. We've been able to see this in the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And now we find ourselves in the book of Joshua. If you'll open your Bibles, please, to the first chapter, we're going to begin our reading and read about 13 verses. So I would encourage you to open your Bible to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give the people possession of the land which I spoke to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong, very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have access or success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Verse 9 of Joshua chapter 1, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you're to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. The book of Joshua is an outstanding, interesting book. We have some dates on this, 1406 B.C. I'm going to give you a quick outline that you can see on the screen. In the first chapter, we see God commissions Joshua. In chapter 2, Rahab welcomes the spies. In chapter 3 through 5, the Israelites cross the Jordan. Chapter 6 through 8, conquer of Jericho and Ai. In chapter 9, the kings join against Israel. In chapter 10, the sun stands still. Chapter 11 and 12, northern Palestine defeated. Joshua 13, all the way through chapter 22, we see land allotted among the tribes. And then in chapters 23 and 24, which concludes this magnificent book, we see Joshua's farewell address. I'm sure that you're not going to be able to take all this information down, but I will leave it just a little while I'm trying to give you an introduction to the wonderful book of Joshua. We understand that the Hebrew name Joshua is the word which means salvation is of God, or God is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. The Greek name is unusual in that it is Jesus, a Greek from the Hebrew. Most of you are aware of the fact that the name Jesus is the name Jesus. Interesting, isn't it? The author of this book by the Spirit of God is Joshua. The date is, I have put on the screen for you, around 1406 B.C. If you want a summary of the book, let me give it to you quickly. That is, we discover that the book of Joshua received its name because of the main character of the book, who, of course, is Joshua, whose name, as I've already said, Jehovah is salvation. I repeat, the Greek form of the name Joshua is actually Jesus and means the same thing as the Hebrew Joshua. The man Joshua makes it is actually Jesus, his first appearance in the command of the armies of Israel against the Amalekites in the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verse 8. Most of us are aware of the fact that Joshua was clearly a leader of Israel. He accompanied Moses to the foot of Mount Sinai. When Moses went up, as you'll remember, to the mount to receive the Ten Commandments. This is presented to us in the 24th chapter of the book of Exodus. It is interesting to see that the way Joshua enters the book of Joshua is already an established leader. So in other words, when we get into the beginning of the book of Joshua, we discover that Joshua himself is already an established leader. Even Moses commissioned Joshua as the man chosen to conquer the land. When Moses gave his farewell speech in the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, Joshua accompanied him to the foot of Mount Sinai. The book is an interesting book because it emphasizes so much about this man, Joshua. As I've already said, that name means Jehovah is salvation. I've already emphasized the fact that the word is Jesus. Interesting indeed. As I've already mentioned, the first appearance of Joshua is as the leader of the forces of Israel against Amalek in the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus. I skip down to show you that the book is actually divided into three major divisions. I want to present these to you quickly, and then we'll move right into our study. It has been decided that the book of Joshua can be divided into three major sections. First of all, the conquest of Canaan in chapters 1 through 12. The second major division of the book of Joshua is the distribution of the territory, which is found in chapters 13 to 22. Then the third division of the book of Joshua is Joshua's farewell addresses. And you'll notice that I have that in plural. This is found in the last two chapters of the book of Joshua. I'll repeat this for you to be able to take time to write this outline if you so desire. Three major divisions of the book of Joshua: the conquest of Canaan, chapters 1 through 12, the distribution of the territory, chapters 13 to 22, and then the third division of the book of Joshua, Joshua's farewell addresses, found in the last two chapters, 23 and 24. I'm going to begin today by giving you some information that I believe is very, very important for us to be able to understand this magnificent book of Joshua. First of all, I'm going to put on the screen a statement, and you'll need to copy this statement: Joshua, a prototype of Christ. Now, if you'll do me a favor and not copy the rest of the information now, because my primary emphasis right at this point is to give you some information on the fact that when you come to the study of the book of Joshua, you will see that Joshua is a prototype of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may even ask the question today, what is the meaning of the word prototype? And I think it's important for us to get this word in our vocabulary and have it down so that we can understand what prototype actually means. I'm going to put it on the screen for you to see in a very simple fashion. The Greek word, as you can see here, is prototos, or prototypos, and that is the meaning, and that is the Greek, the original word prototype. If you want to break that word down, I have it down in the second line there. Protos, P-R-O-T-O-S, the first part of that word, of being a compound word, it means first. The second part of the word, which is T-U-P-O-S, is the word which means impression. So I'm going to leave this on the screen for you to be able to take these notes down. It's very important for you to see. When I talk about prototype, there are many different ways to describe a definition for the word. For instance, a prototype simply means an original or first model of something from which other forms are copied and developed. Now, I don't want to go so fast that you miss this, but I want you to be able to see that prototype means an original or first model of something from which other forms are copied or developed. It is also described as someone or something that has the typical qualities of a particular group or kind. A first or earthly example that is used as a model or what comes later. Now, I've thought about all this, and so it's familiar with me, but I feel like I need to let it be familiar with you. The word prototype means an original model on which something is patterned. I'm going to let you think about that with me for a few moments in the light of the fact that we're emphasizing that Joshua is a prototype of Christ. What we've been able to see in our study through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, that we find Jesus in every one of these books magnificently presented. What I find so exciting and real here is that the name itself is the word which means Jesus. So we discover then that the word prototype means original model on which something is patterned. An individual that exhibits the essential features at a later type. A standard or a typical example. A full-scale and usually functional form of a new type or design of a construction. These are technical terms relating to the definition of prototype. But what I want you to see today is what we have again on the screen. The word prototype comes from the Greek word, which is a compound word, and you need to see it. Protos means first, and the last part of the word means impression. I feel like that I've done a good job letting you know that I'm trying to get over the fact that Joshua is a prototype of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're ready to take these notes, you can see on the screen we have a tremendous amount of information to share with you about this wonderful book of Joshua. Joshua comes from the tribe of Ephraim. This is found in Numbers chapter 13, verse 8. We discover that Joshua is a leader of the people of Israel. No doubt about that. When you read the pages of the 24 chapters of the book of Joshua, you will see that Joshua is a leader of the people of Israel. Together with Moses for 40 years, all of us perhaps are remembering that. With Moses in the mount in Exodus chapter 24, verse 13, we remember that he was one of the 12 spies, as recorded in the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers, verse 8 and verse 15. We discover that he was perhaps about 85 years of age when he succeeded Moses. This is always very interesting to me. The older I get, the more I realize that one of these days, a bunch of years from now, I'll be 85. But anyway, I want you to see that he was perhaps about 85 years of age when he succeeded Moses. He spent 6 years subduing the land, and the rest of his life he spent setting up and governing about 25 years of rule over Israel. He died at the age of 110. We can describe him as a warrior, no doubt about it. Joshua was a warrior. Also, we discover that Joshua disciplined forces, and also he prayed. We find that Joshua was a man of prayer, and he trusted God. This is a quick introduction to this magnificent book of Joshua. I hope you have these points or some of them down, maybe not written down, but in your mind, because it'll help you appreciate what we have as we move through this magnificent book. Roman numeral 1, Joshua, the book, is what I'm calling a transitional book, bridging the writings of Moses with the rest of Scripture. I pause for a moment and let you see what I'm trying to get over. Joshua is a transitional book, bridging the writings of Moses with the rest of the Scripture. Moses, the lawgiver, is denied permission to take God's people into the promised land. Then God chooses Joshua. As I've already said, the name means Jehovah saves. The Lord saves. Does this reveal something? Does this reveal that God's promises cannot be fulfilled by the law? Perhaps you're able to see this. Perhaps it's already entered your mind. Moses. We understand that there's an emphasis upon the law. God chose Joshua. The name means the Lord saves. Does this reveal then that God's promises cannot be fulfilled by means of the law? I want you to be able to see what I'm driving at. It needs to be implanted into your mind very indefinitely, and that you're able to be able to see that we have the law on the one hand, and we have the promises of God and the grace of God on the other hand, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfills the promises. No doubt about that. When I came to this point in preparation for this message, I felt like I needed to shout this out. And the way that I shout this is put it in capital letters. Does this reveal that God's promises cannot be fulfilled by the law? Is anyone saved by the law? Is anyone saved by trying to keep the Ten Commandments? Where does the Scripture reveal that we have salvation? It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua succeeds Moses, just as Christ succeeds the law. I pause for a moment. I get quiet for a moment and try to help you see how important this is. We discover that Joshua succeeds Moses. A pause. Just as Jesus Christ succeeds the law. I pause again. I pause to let you think, because I want you to be able to let this make an impression upon your mind. How are we saved? Are we saved by keeping the law? Are we saved because Jesus Christ left heaven's glory, came to this earth, went to the cross, died for the sins of the world, and we have that magnificent, wonderful message of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ fulfills the promises. Joshua succeeds Moses, just as Christ succeeds the law. Joshua gives Israel what Moses could never give, and that is the promised land. And Christ gives us what the law could never give, and that is salvation. When the Apostle Paul was writing the Romans in Romans chapter 8, he gives us, and we should read this one of these days, he gives us the information in relationship to the fact that we're not saved by the law, we're saved by grace. God used Joshua then to part the Jordan River so that Israel could go over. And this is found in Joshua chapter 3, verses 7 through 17. Just as Christ walks on water and calls folk to come to him. And we find that in the book of Matthew, chapter 14, 25 to 29. Under the leadership of Joshua, God's people found rest. And this is presented to us beautifully in Joshua chapter 21, verse 44. Just as Jesus leads his people into eternal peace and rest. And this is presented to us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Verse 1. I want to assure you today that when I find myself in the midst of the verses of Scripture in the book of Joshua, my heart beats a little faster because I'm able to see how fantastic it is that Jesus is being presented so magnificently and so wonderfully. That brings me to Roman number 2. The book of Joshua goes right on where the book of Deuteronomy leaves off. Let's see how God's Word is. When you make your way through the book of Deuteronomy and come to the last chapter, chapter 34, the book of Joshua goes on where the book of Deuteronomy leaves off, a continuation of history of the chosen people. These people were led out of bondage by Moses and led into the promised land by Joshua. Israel overcame the enemy, occupied the land which was promised. Moses passed through the Red Sea. Moses led Israel from bondage. Moses gave a vision of faith. Moses told of an inheritance. We saw all of this in the book of Deuteronomy, but now we're seeing it more beautifully presented. Joshua completes what Moses began. God does not leave his work unfinished. When I came to this point in preparation, I came to the point where I could write in capital letters, Joshua completes what Moses began. God does not leave his work unfinished. Moses is dead. Moses is dead. Is that the end? Moses is dead. Rise, the Scripture says, and go over Jordan. The Apostle Paul is dead, but the cross he preached abides forever. God is in charge. There's no room for gloom. Can you imagine how the people felt when Moses died? Moses is dead. Gloom falls over the people. I want to remind you of something today. God has you and me on this earth for a particular reason. And when that reason has been accomplished, God's going to move you off the scene. But life goes on. Moses is dead. Does that mean that we're to fall under the gloom of the situation? There's no room for gloom. When one servant's task is ended, another steps up and moves on. Just remember that in relationship to your own specific life. God has a reason for your existence. You're here on this earth now because God wants you here. And God has a purpose and a plan for your life. But let me tell you something. I'm reminded of this more and more as the older I get, that one of these days this life is going to be over. And I want to remind you that your life, one of these days, is going to be over. But that doesn't mean that gloom should fall across America, or gloom should fall across your home, or gloom should fall across your community. Moses is dead. Rise. Move over the Jordan. Roman numeral 3. God has been getting Joshua ready for years. Born in slavery in Egypt. But God led him out to be a successor of Moses. I want to remind you of what I have here on Roman numeral 3. God has been getting Joshua ready for years. Born in slavery in Egypt, but God led him out to be a successor of Moses. Look at Joshua. According to Henrietta C. Mears' book on what the Bible is all about. If you have a copy of that, wonderful. If you do not, you ought to get that book, What the Bible is All About. She says, Joshua passed over Jordan. Joshua led Israel into blessing. Joshua led them into a life of faith. Joshua led them into possession. What is the theme, Henrietta Mears says, what is the theme of the book of Joshua? Overcoming the enemy, occupying the land. Oh, could I just say over and over again, God has a reason for your existence. God wants you and me here, or He wouldn't have us here at this particular time. God wants you to realize that He has a reason for your existence. Joshua passed over Jordan. Joshua led Israel into blessing. Joshua led them into a life of faith. Joshua led them into possession. And the theme, Henrietta Mears says, the theme of the book of Joshua is overcoming the enemy and occupying the land. Let me move quickly to Roman numeral 4. Joshua is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we've said from the very beginning. Joshua is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you go into the New Testament, you will discover that Jesus Christ is presented as a servant, a doulos in the original language, a slave. Jesus is a servant. In Luke 22:27, we find that Joshua is a slave, a servant, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. When you go to the writings in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, and read through all of those 17 verses, you will find that Jesus is presented as a slave, a servant. When you go to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 7, you'll discover that Jesus is presented as a servant. Joshua succeeds Moses. Christ succeeds the law. You say, well, preacher, why are you emphasizing this so much? Because I want you to understand that when 40 years ago, it became my responsibility for naming this church. I thought about many different names. And I came up with the name Grace. A wonderful name, as all of you know. The insert in today's bulletin is a magnificent presentation. I would encourage you at this Christmas season to take your family and sit down and read through and teach this information to your family. As I've handed this bulletin out to several people, I've encouraged them to read through this magnificent insert on the grace of God. Naming this church, what name could we use? Grace. That's what it's all about. What else could I do? We're teaching the Bible, so I thought maybe Bible would be a good word in the name. And then it's a church. Now, do you see how wonderful this name is? The name of this church is Grace Bible Church. Jesus, a type of the Lord. Joshua, the type of the Lord Jesus Christ, a servant. Jesus is a servant. Luke 22, 27. John 13, 1 through 17. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Joshua, I repeat, succeeds Moses. Christ succeeds the law. Joshua gives Israel what Moses could not, the promised land. Christ gives us what the law could never give, that salvation. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that salvation is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. How fantastic that passage is in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. When I go to the 21st chapter of the book of Joshua, I see Joshua leading God's people into joy and peace and rest. And what I've concluded today is that that is exactly what God does for us. As an 11-year-old boy, about 11 years of age, I realized that I needed to be saved, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want you to realize that that was a magnificent experience for me, even though I did not at that time, and even to this day don't understand all about what God did. I promise you, God worked the miracle of salvation. Sometimes when I find myself studying at my desk, there are things that I just want to sing. Now, I'm not going to sing to you today because I think that I know better than to do that. But I want you to know that as I came to this point and I looked at these particular verses of Scripture, Joshua leads God's people into rest. And I sat there and thought about the joy and the peace and the contentment that I know in my own heart, because I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. Most of all, because not only that I've accepted Him, but more than that, He's accepted me. Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And so as I sat there thinking about how fantastic this is, I thought about the day when I would breathe my last breath or when the rapture would occur. And I thought about this song. Oh, I want to see Him. Look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. And I went through that, so I went to my computer, and I said, I don't know the words to that song, but I can find it. I can find it rapidly. And so I typed in, oh, I want to see Him. And here's what came up. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without and from within, but my Lord leads me on. Through Him I will win. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low, I look toward the mountain height, and behold my Savior there leading in the fight, with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see Him. look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. And then I looked down and asked myself a question, should I read all these verses to that congregation whom I love so much? And the answer came back within me, yes. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, he doth safely keep. He leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me. Oh, oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we are grateful today for the wonderful assurance that we have that one day, either by means of physical death or by means of the rapture, we're going to be absent from the body and in the presence of our Savior, Jesus Christ, forever. Not because we deserve it, not because we're worthy of it, but because of God's great love for us and the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to come to this earth and be the God-man, to go to the cross and bear our sins. And so we pause to express our thanks today for the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the fact that Jesus has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. This makes us realize that there's only one way of salvation. It's faith alone in Christ alone. And so I pray that at this very moment, there will be those who will trust you. We do not know who all may hear this voice, but we know for sure that it's not the voice that matters. It's the voice of God that brings to the hearer's heart the necessity of being born into that kingdom. And we pray that there will be those who will accept you now so that they can be born again. Thank you for every wonderful blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.